हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदा ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम् हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यम् करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः लेट् अस् रीड् दि फस्ट् वर्स् विच् ऐ टाट् टु लास्ट् क्लास् वी स्टार्टेड् दिस् न्यू टेक्स्ट् कार्ड् वेदान्त सारः एस् ऐ टोल्ड् यु लास्ट् क्लास् सारः मीन्स् एसेन्स् अण्ड् वेदान्तः with the teaching of the end portion of the Veda. So the essence of the Vedantic teaching, essence of the teaching obtaining in the end portion of the Veda is called Vedanta Saraha. And as I said, any text begins with a verse of benediction and wherein the author always invokes the grace of the Lord in order to be able to complete the text without any obstacles. Which means in any endeavor, the obstacles are anticipated, obstacles are foreseen. Therefore, we always seek the grace. The effort is possible on one's part to do anything, to accomplish anything. But the effort is very important. Without the efforts, nothing can be accomplished. But mere effort on one's part is not enough. Which means effort always needs to be with grace. So one cannot tap the grace of the Lord if one does not make appropriate, adequate, proper efforts. But mere effort, however appropriate, adequate the efforts are, it is impossible for one to accomplish, to make that effort effective without the grace of the Lord. The two factors should go hand in hand for the successful accomplishment of anything. Effort with grace. That grace, we call it Daivam. Effort is called Prayatnaha. And if effort and grace, you have both, then there's a time factor. There must be patience. You have to wait for a given time for that effort and grace to be effective, isn't it? So three factors are involved in the achievement or accomplishment of anything. Effort, grace and time. Prayatnaha, anugraha or daivam, and Kalaha. Therefore, an intelligent person, even the wise person, like Sir Acharya, the teacher, author of this book, and when they want to express their vision, when they want to present the teaching, the whole analysis of the analysis, and they want to present it, number of words, number of a book, and in order to complete it, not to complete it, after completing it also, and this book should always be, you know, useful for people who are going to read it. So for the many people should be beneficiaries. Therefore, they always begin the text with the prayer. And as we saw last class, here the author invokes the grace of Bhagavan first. We saw the meaning already. We'll just read the verse once. We'll go to the next. Akhandam Sachidanandam. Avang Manasa Gocharam. Atmanam Akhiladharam. Ashraye Bhishta Siddhaye. Ashraye Bhishta Siddhaye. I'll repeat it for you again. Akhandam Akhandam Sachidanandam. Sachidanandam. Avang Manasa Gocharam. Avang Manasa Gocharam. Atmanam Atmanam Akhiladharam. Akhiladharam. Ashraye Bhishta Siddhaye. Bhishta Siddhaye. We have seen the meanings, but still I won't repeat it today. Ashraye. Ashraye means I surrender. I take refuge. I ashraye, I surrender to whom? I take refuge in whom? I surrender to the Lord. I surrender to the Lord. How do you understand it is the Lord? There is a mention of the word. Akhila Adharam. Akhilam means entire. Adharaha means support. Your Akhiladharaha means I have surrendered to the Lord the support of this entire cosmos, the existence of this entire cosmos, substratum of this entire universe, entire creation. Akhiladharam Ashraye. And to the Lord who is the whole. Then who is this Lord who is in the form of the whole, who is the very substratum of this support of this entire universe? Who is that Lord? That Lord who is obtaining as the innermost, all-pervasive, innermost essence of everything and every individual here. Atmanam. Atma, that Lord is who now? Atma means the self. Self means what? The Sanskrit word Atma gives many meanings. So here, the word Atma has to be understood this way. Atma means apnoti sarvam iti Atma. That which pervades everything. Therefore, this Lord, the support of this entire universe, is none other than the reality which obtains as, what now, the very truth, with the innermost essence of every individual, including me. Is it clear? So the word Atma is understood as what? The all-pervasive, indestructible, innermost truth of every individual. Atma. So I bow to the Lord who is in the form of the Atma, the self of all the beings. The support of this cosmos is the self of every being. The truth of this universe is the truth of the every individual. See, the very verse he tells, the support of this universe is the self of every individual. Therefore, Akhila Adharam, also Atma. These two words itself reveal what now? The truth being one and the same of the individual and the universe. You notice, Atmanam Akhiladharam Ashraye. Then he goes further. In the first verse he says, the first line he says, and what is this support of the Lord who is support of everything, the truth of everything, and the truth of the individual? Akhiladharam is equal to the truth of everything, the entire universe, the truth of every individual. And that's what I'm saying. The truth of the whole is Akhiladharaha. Truth of the individual is called what? Atma here. Is it clear? Therefore, and that truth, that Lord who is the support of this entire universe, who is obtaining as the innermost essence of every individual, is one indivisible, partless whole. Akhandam. See the first word now? Akhandam. Akhandaha. Akhandaha means indivisible, partless, whole. Which means that is, which is one and the same. Indivisibility, partlessness implies what? Implies that Lord being one and the same. Isn't it? If it is partful, if it is divisible, it can't be one. Therefore, Akhandam implies that Lord, the support of the entire universe, obtaining as the truth of every individual, is one indivisible, partless whole. Akhandam. Akhandaha. Then what is that? What is that Lord? Who is that Lord who is the support of this universe, who obtains as the truth of every individual, who is indivisible, partless, whole, akhanda? Who is that Lord? What is that Lord? What is the nature of that Lord? No? Satchidanandam. That Lord who is of the nature of pure existence, awareness, and fullness. Okay, the truth of the Lord is pure existence and awareness and fullness. Which means how the truth of the Lord, or how the Lord is of the nature of fullness. How Lord is of the nature of pure existence. How Lord is of the nature of pure awareness. That we are going to understand later on. This verse only does not explain, it only tells the nature, isn't it? What is that Lord is of the nature of pure existence, awareness, fullness, how, that we have to see. That we study, isn't it? Therefore, Satchidanandam, Avang Manasa Gocharam. But that Lord is not an object of perception, describable through words, or reachable through senses or the mind. Listen, Avang Manasa Gocharam. It is not available for perception, okay, objectification. So, avang, it's indescribable through words and it is not an object of perception. Understand? Therefore, this is the meaning of these words. I bow to this Lord. Is it clear now? It is a clean description of the Lord. I bow to the Lord, the support of this entire universe, obtaining as the truth of every individual, the one indivisible, partless whole, who is the nature of pure existence, awareness and fullness, and who is not describable, available for description of words, and who is not available for sense or thought perception. Okay? Now you have to say, what is the purpose of surrendering to the Lord? I surrendered to the Lord of this nature, isn't it? Abhishta Siddhaye. Abhishta Siddhaye. Siddhihi means achievement, accomplishment, success. So successful completion, successful accomplishment is called Siddhihi. And here, Abhishta means for the successful accomplishment of the desired end. Abhishta means the desired, intended, wished end is Abhishta. Therefore, for the successful accomplishment of the desired end, okay, the wish, desired wish, and then ascended to the Lord, which means I seek the grace of the Lord. So, in fact, it means what? I pray to the Lord to shower His grace in order to help me fulfill my wish, to help me accomplish my end. Fulfill my wish. This is the thing. Okay? So we also, along with the author, have sought Bhagavan's grace. We'll read once now. Akhandam Sachidanandam. Avang Manasa Gocharam. Atmanam Akhiladharam Ashraye Bhishta Siddhaye. Now we have one more verse wherein the author invokes his grace of his teacher also. I told you in the tradition, Guru is also always seen as the Lord. Guru is as revered as the Lord. So in order to express his gratitude to Guru for what he has blessed him with, and in order to emphasize the importance of studying the scripture with the help of the Guru, the proper teacher, and also in order to express his reverence to this teacher, and he seeks the grace of blessings of his Guru also here. That is the second verse. Let's read now. Arthatopyadvayanandan Atitadvaitabhanatah Guru Naradhya Vedanta Saram. Guru Naradhya Vedanta Saram Vakshe Yathamati Arthatopyadvayanandan Atita अतीत द्वैत भानतः अतीतद्वैतभानतः गुरुनाराध्य वेदान्तसारम् वक्षेयथामति. ओके, वक्षे मीन्स द फर्स्ट पर्सन फ्यूचर टेंस वर्ब. आई एम गोइंग टू से एंड टू द बेस्ट ऑफ माय नॉलेज एंड एबिलिटी यथामति. Genuinely, to the best of my ability, to the best of my knowledge, I am going to say. What I am going to say? I am going to say the essence of the Vedantic teaching. I am going to present the essence of the Vedantic teaching. Vedanta Saram Vakshe. How? I am going to say, first, offering my respects to my teacher. So having bowed to my teacher, so worshipping my teacher, thinking of my teacher, thanking my teacher, Aradhya means worshipping, bowing to, paying my respects to my teacher, Gurun Aradhya. I'm going to present the essence of the Vedantic teaching to the best of my knowledge. But here, and who is my guru? The first line presents the description of his teacher. Who is this teacher who he bows to here? He says, Advayanandam. Advayanandaha is the name of his teacher. Advayanandan, the plural expression is to express his thanks, reverence. So Advayanandan means the one whose name is Advayananda. His name is Advayanandaha, and he says, not only his name is Advayananda, he is the embodiment of, he is the personification of the meaning of that word Advayanandaha. I'm bowing to my teacher, worshipping my teacher. I'm going to begin. And whose name is Advayanandaha? And who is the very meaning of the word? Not only his name is Advayananda, he's also meaning of the word. What does it mean? Advayanandaha. Advayam, Advayam means not two. Dvayam means two. Advayam means not two. Non-dual. Anandaha means fullness, happiness. So Advayanandaha means what now? One who has the luxury of reveling in the vision of the non-dual reality, which is of the nature of fullness. Or one who has the luxury of reveling in fullness, which is the nature of the non-dual reality. Is it clear? This person's name is Advayananda. And he is the meaning of Advayanandaha. Why? Because one who has that luxury. What luxury? Luxury of reveling in fullness. How can one revel in fullness? Because he is reveling in fullness because of his vision of non-duality. Reveling in fullness is possible only if a person is reveling in the vision of the non-reality. What is that reality? Which is a non-dual reality. Okay, name, he is now Arthataha Api Advayanandan. Arthataha Api means, my guru, who is by name Advayanandaha, not only by name Advayanandaha, he is the meaning of his name Advayanandaha. He just, glorifies, glorification of his guru, which means he appreciates the vision of his guru. That is why so much of reverence, isn't it? Got it? Therefore, Arthataha Api means, even in terms of meaning, Arthataha Api, he is Advayanandaha. Means, by name, he Advayananda. He is the meaning of the word Advayanandaha. So, Arthataha Api Advayanandan. And how do I say that he is the meaning of the word Advayanandaha, the one who revels in fullness with his vision of the non-duality of the reality, as a result of vision of non-duality of reality, because he says, Atita Dvaita Bhanataha. See, Dvaita Bhanam, Bhanam means shining. Dvaita Bhana means, the duality. The one in whose perception still duality is there, he doesn't have the vision of the truth. The one in whose perception, in whose perception, the duality is no more there. Understand? As long as one remains ignorant of the truth of the universe, a truth of one's own self, one has the perception of duality. Okay. When the person, in the wake of knowledge of the self, in the wake of knowledge of the truth of the universe, this person there is perception of duality. Okay? Which means the duality is relatively real for this person. It is not absolutely real. I gave the example last class. Hope you all understood last class example. You had to remember, it is like when a child goes to the ocean, standing on the seashore, the child starts counting all the waves. He's trying to count the waves. So many waves. And he says, oh my God, innumerably countless waves. I can't count the number of waves. The child is counting. And the child also sees what now? My God, the ocean is so big. And in this ocean, there's so many small waves. And compared to the ocean, which is full of waves, these waves are much smaller. Much smaller. Therefore, waves are small. There are so many small waves on one big ocean. There's difference between wave and ocean. This is how the child sees. But you are your wise person. With reference to this, you are wise. You are ocean wise. Therefore, you stand there on the seashore and you smile at the child. You don't say you're wrong, but you smile. But in your mind, why? Because you are Atita Dvaita Bhanam you have. Atita Dvaita Bhanam means what? In whose perception there is no duality with reference to ocean. In your perception, there's no duality. Why? You see the non-dual, secondless reality, water. Whereas for the child, there is perception of duality. Dvaita Bhanam for the child, who is just 3-4 year old. And for you, there is Advaita Bhanam. Okay? What shines is you know, the non-dual reality. There's no more shining, there's no more perception of the duality. Means Dvaita Bhanam is not there. You see the wave, you see the ocean, you perceive, no, superficially you see the difference. Relatively you see the difference, the ocean wave difference, the plurality of waves you see, the duality, the difference between wave and ocean you see, superficially you see, but absolutely, cognitively, what you appreciate is what? You don't physically go and pull the wave and say only one ocean is, only water is there. No. Without making any effort to straighten the waves, removing the ocean, physically with you not making any effort to remove the name and form ocean, you are not making any efforts to straighten the waves. No effort, physically not doing anything, just standing there, intellectually, cognitively, you appreciate what? Superficially, I perceive the duality, the difference between as wave and ocean. Superficially, I see the plurality, the multiplicity of waves. Absolutely, no, I see all that is here is just the water. They're all, you know, as mithya, as good as non-existent, isn't it? There's no wave, there's no ocean apart other than water. This is called what now? Advaita Bhanam. Okay, Advaita means Atita Dvaita Bhanam. Seeing beyond the duality. Is it clear? Atita Dvaita Bhanam. One whose perspective has changed. Either here also, we all see the plurality, the multiplicity of beings and things. And we all see the difference between the total and the individual. This is our perspective, this is our perception. So here, this perception of plurality, of multiplicity of beings, and the duality between the whole and the individual, this is really speaking superficially, relatively, empirically real factor. It is not unreal factor, it is real factor. But how real is it? This duality, the difference between individual and the total, this duality, how real is it? Superficially real. It is as real as it is in between the wave and the ocean. And how real is this perception of plurality of beings, multiplicity of, you know, countlessness of beings? How real is it? Is it not unreal? It is relatively real, empirically real, but absolutely not real. How absolutely not real? How real are the waves? How real are the, you know, how real is the difference between waves? How real is the difference between wave and the ocean in the same way? Okay? Therefore, but now we all, what is superficially, empirically, relatively real, which seems to be absolutely real for us. Whereas for the wise person like Advayananda, guru of the Sadananda, the author of this book, in for whom, no? Atita Dvaita Bhanam means one for whom there's no more a duality, one whose vision there is no more duality. So due to his vision of one, the one in whose vision there is no more duality, therefore who has the luxury of reveling in fullness, due to his vision of non-duality. Therefore, he is not just by name, he is Advayananda. No, he is also the one who has the vision of Advayananda, is the meaning of the word. Okay? Therefore, that is my guru. So, having worshipped, worshipping, bowing to my guru, Hachiguru, I am going to begin my presentation of this teaching to the best of my knowledge. Okay? So you have to bear with me. These are such explanations. To see the verse once, when we go to the next. Arthatopyadvayanandan. Arthatopyadvayanandan. Atitadvaitabhanatah. Atitadvaitabhanatah. Guru Naradhya Vedanta Saram. Guru Naradhya Vedanta Saram. Vakshayathamati.
Vakshayathamati.
Okay. So here ends the verse. Hereafter, we are going to have the whole teaching in the prose form. So, you don't need to recite. So, prose part of the teaching begins. Okay? The invocations are over. The teaching begins. And before even entering into the actual teaching, he wants to say, what does the word Vedantaha mean? He says here. So the meaning of the word Vedantaha, he wants to give here. Why? Because this book presents the essence of the Vedantic teaching. Therefore, you need to understand what Vedantaha is. He says, Vedanto Nama Upanishat. Vedanto Nama Upanishat. First, that's one sentence, okay? Vedanto Nama Upanishat. Veda Antaha, as I told you already, Vedaha is a body of knowledge. Isn't it? The whole Veda, the entire text is what? About treasure house of knowledge. And this entire Veda we are not studying now. We are only studying what? The end portion of the Vedaha. The end is called what? Antaha. So Veda Antaha means the end portion of the Vedaha. Now the question comes, oh, the entire Veda as a whole text is a means of knowledge, but we are going to study only the essence, end portion of the Vedaha. Then do we miss something then? Do we miss something then? The question comes. In fact, you will all be happy to know this fact. By studying the entire Veda, by understanding the teaching of the entire Veda, what one has to ultimately, finally accomplish, achieve, that one can achieve just by studying the end portion of the Veda. This is the secret. If we know this secret, we can avoid, I will not say studying the entire Veda is a useless thing. It's a great thing, very great thing to study the entire Veda. But when our lifespan is so short, and then we have so many commitments, so many things to do, and in this cold weather in London, shivering, and even I was wondering why people are going to come to the class at all today, but still you have come, and this precious time you had to make use of for studying, still we should not miss out the benefit of this study, isn't it? Which means Veda Antaha itself is enough. Which means the end portion of the Vedaha, without studying the first part of the Veda, the previous part of the Veda, the beginning part of the Veda, we study just the end portion of the Veda. Is it enough? If we say it is enough, which means this itself will give you the core vision of the entire Veda. Study of the Vedanta Shastram, study of the end portion of the Veda itself will give you the core vision of the entire Veda. Okay? That's why, see, Vedantaha Nama is nothing but Upanishad. The end portion of the Vedaha is nothing but Upanishad. It consists of Upanishads. Now, it is an excellent book for the beginners to study, because everything you learn, which means there are many Upanishads, not just one Upanishad. If you ask me, Upanishads are many. Many small texts constitute what now? So many Upanishads. And all these Upanishads, in fact, constitute the, are contained in the end portion of the Vedanta. Therefore, Vedanta is a synonym of the word Upanishad. I told you last class, one more word is what? Jnana Kandaha. So the entire Veda consists of three portions: Karma Kandaha, Upasana Kandaha, and Jnana Kandaha. Of these three portions, the last portion, the concluding portion of the Vedaha, is called Jnana Kandaha. Therefore, now you can say Vedantaha, Upanishad, Jnana Kandaha, all these three words are synonyms. So you can very well say, I study Upanishad, I study Vedanta, I study Jnana Kanda of the Veda. Same. So, Vedanto Nama Upanishad. Vedanta means Upanishad. Vedanta is Upanishad. Now let us see the meaning of Upanishad. The Upanishad means what? This word Upanishad consists of three as parts. If you split the word Upanishad, you get these three words. Not three parts. Not three words. One word, if you have to split the word, Upa-ni-sat. The word Upa means near. It is not a word, it's a prefix. It is not a word by itself. The part, that part which is a part of this word Upanishad, is a prefix which means near. And another, that part, the ni stands for definiteness. And sat actually has come from the root sad. The sat should be taken as sad, not sat. Sad, which means destroys. So Upanishad together means that which definitely destroys the ignorance and the effects of ignorance, consequences of ignorance, by revealing the truth. As the nearest self. Okay. This study of this text does what? It removes the it helps to resolve the ignorance. When ignorance goes, along with ignorance, what will go? The effects of ignorance. The problems caused by ignorance also will go along with it. So the sadh means the removal of ignorance and the ill effects of ignorance. It removes what? Removal of what? How does it remove the ignorance and ignorance, ill effects of ignorance? By revealing. No? It removes the ignorance of the truth means, how can it remove the ignorance? By revealing the truth. Therefore, that's implied here. So, it reveals the truth as what? Not as an object outside. By revealing the truth as the nearest self. What is nearer to you? What is the nearest to yourself? Yourself, isn't it? Therefore, by revealing the truth as the nearest self, it removes the ignorance and the ignorance caused problems. Definitely. Therefore, it is called Upanishad. This is one meaning. Okay? And another meaning is, Upa means near. Ni means leads. Brings. And Sat is truth. Therefore, by revealing the truth, it brings what now? It takes you near the truth. And so that which takes you near the truth means by revealing the truth as the nearest. So that which removes the distance between you and the truth, how does it remove the distance between you and the truth? What is the distance between you and the truth? Ignorance. Just as there is no distance between the wave and the water, what is the distance between the wave and the water? What is the distance? Or what is the distance between wave and the ocean? No distance, isn't it? There is no distance between wave and the ocean. There is no distance between wave and the water. There is no distance between wave and the water and the ocean. There is no distance. Similarly, there is no distance between you, the individual, and the total, the Lord. There is no distance between you and the Lord. There is no physical distance between the wave and the ocean. There is no physical distance between the wave and the water. Similarly, there is no physical distance between, there is no physical distance between the this building and the space. Similarly, there is no physical distance between you, the individual, and the Lord, the total, the whole. There is no physical distance between the truth, the reality of everything and you, the individual. But there is seeming distance, isn't it? And this distance is caused by ignorance. Is it clear? But there seems to be distance. You think you are different, isn't it? You see the differences are very real for you. Therefore, this difference is perceived because of the distance you see. The distance is, there's no real distance between you and the Lord, you and the truth. The distance is caused by ignorance of the truth. If you know what the truth of, if when you know the truth of the wave and the ocean is one and the same, and you don't see any distance between the wave and the ocean. When you understand the truth of the wave being water, then you see there's no distance between wave and the water. Is it clear? Therefore, knowing in the wake of knowledge of the truth, all the distance will resolve. The distance is caused by ignorance. Therefore, it removes the distance. What removes the distance? The Upanishadic study removes the distance between you and the Lord, you and the reality. That be what happens now. It brings together as though. So that which brings the individual and the Lord, the truth and the individual together, brings together, brings nearer to each other as though, by removing the seeming distance caused by ignorance. By removing the very ignorance, by revealing the truth. Is it clear? Therefore, Upanishad is equal to the knowledge of the truth which removes the seeming difference between you and the total, you the individual and Lord the total. Is it clear or not? Mm-hmm. Upanishad. Therefore, Upanishad means knowledge of the truth. The actual implied meaning of the Upanishad is what? Knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the reality. Absolute reality. Brahma Vidya. Anyway, you will learn more meanings, other class also. But here this much is enough. So, Vedantaha Nama Upanishad. Is it clear now? You understood three words, meaning you understood in the class itself, you understood. Now next, Pramanam. What is this Upanishad? Therefore, this Upanishad, which removes the ignorance, by revealing the truth as the nearest truth, understand? Means, it is the Pramanam, that which reveals, the Pramanam. Pramanam means a means of knowledge. Therefore, this Vedantaha, which is otherwise called Upanishad, is in fact a valid means of knowledge. The word Pramanam is equal to a valid means of knowledge. Understand? I tell you, there is a root called Ma. Ma means to measure. Mati means measures. Manam means measuring. I'm going to soon start my Sanskrit classes for all of you. Manam means measure, measuring, measurement. It's a noun, gerund also. Measuring, measurement is what? Manam. Manam is a dental na. With a pra, it becomes cerebral na. Manam becomes pramanam. Understand? Prakarshena miyate anena iti pramanam. That through which, by which something is accurately measured, understood, is called pramanam. So pra stands for accuracy. Manam means measuring, isn't it? So, pramana means that by which something is measured accurately, understood clearly, is called pramana. Pramakaranam pramanam. So, that's what we say, valid means of knowledge. Now, you can understand. Now, each sense organ is a pramanam. Each sense organ is a pramanam. So world means of knowledge of a given object. Isn't it? Now there is light. There is light. Prakashaha asti atra. How do you say, how do you know this? This is knowledge. There is light is knowledge. Prama. There is knowledge. There is light is knowledge, which is called Prama. Prama means knowledge. There are few people sitting in this class. This knowledge, is it Prama? Prama means knowledge. And there is a bunch of flower here. Flowers, which is Prama, knowledge. So, this knowledge, how is this Prama possible? How do you say there is? You say, I see, isn't it? Which means, how do you see? How do you know? Because I see. How do you see? Because I have eyes. My eyes are distortion free, which means eyes are the pramanam for the knowledge of an given object called light. Similarly, eyes serve as the pramanam. Pramanam means of knowledge only of this object called light, and this object shine in the light. But for sound, your hearing power is the only valid means of knowledge, pramanam. Is it ears are the pramanam for this sound? Your nose is the pramanam for this smell. Your tongue is the pramanam for the taste. Your skin is the pramanam for the touch. Understand? So each sense organ is a pramanam, valid means of knowledge of a corresponding object. Is it clear? So not only this, our shastram talks about many pramanams. Pratyaksha pramanam. Pratyaksha pramanam means perception is a means of knowledge. How do you say there is music heard here? Pratyaksha pramanam. I hear myself. I see myself. I smell myself. I tasted myself. I feel, you know, it's called pratyaksha pramanam. It is very warm outside. If I say, you'll all say what? You will say, I'm mad, isn't it? So there was very warm outside. All of you can walk out without throwing away your jackets. What a pratyaksha pramanam. Swamiji, you come out and stand without a jacket, you will know. It means pratyaksha pramanam, perception. It's called pratyaksha pramanam. Understand? Direct perception. Pratyaksha pramanam. Then, now, see here, Alan is here. Nobody tells you pratyaksha pramanam. Lucian is not here, is gone on a holiday, is not here. Pratyaksha pramanam, he is not here. But standing outside, you see Rodney's car, you did not see him, but you say what now? Seeing the car, you say he is here, without seeing him. You did not see Rodney here. Pratyaksha, not pratyaksha pramanam, it is anumanam. Anumanam means what? Inference. Anumanam, pratyaksham, anumanam means inference. Then sometimes we compare. Now through comparison also we arrive at things. Now, what are all the means we use to understand things, to arrive at things, to know the objects? Pratyaksham, you perceive directly, or you infer based on your perception. You know, then you compare and also understand. The comparison is called what? Upamanam. So, pratyaksham, anumanam, upamanam, then arthapattihi. Arthapattihi means assumption. Assuming things, isn't it? Assumption. Arthapattihi. Assumption. It also means of knowledge. Then, anupalabdhihi. Anupalabdhihi. Absence also sometimes serves as a means of knowledge. Isn't it? Sometimes absence also serves as a means of knowledge of arriving at certain facts. Absence. Anupalabdhihi literally means non-availability. Anupalabdhihi. Then shabdaha. Shabdaha. Shabdaha means word. A word also serves as means of knowledge. Shabdaha, anupalabdhihi, arthapattihi, upamanam, anumanam, pratyaksham. Okay? These are all, generally, these are all used as their different means of knowledge. Is it clear? And here, this Upanishad also is a pramanam. This Upanishad is a pramanam means, it is not pratyaksha pramanam, it is not anumana pramanam, it is not arthapatti pramanam, it is not upamana pramanam, it is not anupalabdhi pramanam, but it is a shabda pramanam. Okay? The words of the Upanishad serve as means of knowledge. Words of the Upanishad serve as means of knowledge. Not any word. Okay. Generally, a word is said to be a means of knowledge. And here, Upanishad, the words of the Upanishad serve as means of knowledge. What does it mean here? The Upanishad here serves as means of knowledge of the reality. Upanishad is the valid means of knowledge of the reality. Vedanto nama. In fact, I would like you to memorize these words along with me. I have decided, this is my experience of having taught many years in this country. Hereafter, I see that everything I make you memorize, you go back from this class thoroughly. Upanishad na Vedanto nama Upanishad pramanam. Okay? This is a means of valid means. Vedanta is nothing but Upanishad, which serves as a valid means of knowledge of the reality. Is it clear now? Now, you should ask, how do we understand this Vedanta serves as a means of knowledge? How do we understand? See, you are the one who wants to know. Now, when you start studying the Upanishad, you are going to, what studying the Upanishad is, beginning to operate the instrument of knowledge. Okay? Studying the Upanishad means beginning to operate the instrument of knowledge. Without operating the instrument of knowledge, without making use of the instrument of knowledge, can you say the instrument of knowledge works or not? You have to make use of the pramanam to know whether it works or it does not. Isn't it? Whether this fan, whether this radiator works or not, the heating comes or not, without switching it on, without making use of it, you cannot say, no, this radiator is useless, I don't find any heat coming out of it. Without turning it on, you cannot say it is very, very useful. Definitely, you can use it, a lot of heat comes out of it. You can really make this room warm. No, turn it on, leave it, then see whether it works. You have to make use of it to know whether it is useful, effective or not. Isn't it? Similarly here also, pramanam works only when you make use of it. To see how it is effective, you have to make use of it. And here, Vedanta Shastra Pramanam has to be made use of, has to be operated only in the form of the study of the Upanishad. Is it clear? Therefore, Pramanam, it's a means of knowledge. So, words of the Upanishad, when handled carefully by a teacher, a competent teacher, who would have understood the method of unfolding the words from his teacher, then you see how the words reveal the truth, how the words reflect the truth as your own very nature. The words reveal your own nature being, your own Swarupam being the truth. Just as mirror reflects your face, and Pramanam, Vedanta Shastram also, the words of Vedanta reflect your Swarupam. So Pramanam, and it's a unique means of knowledge. Why it's a unique means of knowledge? Why can't you use any other means of knowledge to know the truth? Can I use any other means of knowledge to know the truth, to arrive at the truth, reality? No. Why? Because the truth is, even though truth is all pervasive, even though truth is one indivisible partless whole, even though all that is here is only the non-dual reality, the truth is never available for objectification. The reality is never available for objectification because reality is not an object of knowledge. Why is it not available for objectification? Because it is not an object of knowledge. Anything which is objectifiable, an object alone, can be arrived at through any of these means of knowledge. An object is something which is relatively distant from you, away from you, different from you. An object is something which is different from you, different from me, the knower. Away from me, the knower. Distant from me, the knower. Therefore, a thing which is an object, away from me, distant from me, different from me. To know that object, I can operate all these different various means of knowledge. I can know that. I can use my sense organs, perception, I can try to infer, I can compare and arrive at, understand, even the other words I can arrive at. description of word, I can arrive at, through all these different means of knowledge. But here, the reality, not being an object, not being available for objectification, reality is available for recognition only as the very subject, subject of knowledge. It is not an object of knowledge. This is the first thing you have to remember here. The reality which is to be known is available for recognition only as the truth of the knower, the subject. It is never objectifiable because it is not an object at all. Understand? Therefore, if it is the very truth of the knower, the subject, then as the one who wants to know the truth, you are the one who wants to know the truth, and your own swarupam, you are the one to be known also. Understand? This is called subject-object difference, isn't it? If the subject, the knower, the object which is to be known is different from the knower, then any other pramanam, any other appropriate pramanam works. But here, the knower himself happens to be the to-be-known object also. The subject knower himself, herself, happens to be the to-be-known object also. What happened? There's no difference, isn't it? Here no other pramanam works. That's why it's a unique pramanam. You need a pramanam which is other than you. Which means you are not capable of using your own sense organs, your own intellect. Understand? Let me use my intellect and somehow think, ask this question repeatedly, who am I? Then I can arrive at it? No. Let me use my sense organs. Let me have extra sensory perceptual powers so that I can, know. Whatever you do, even if you stand upside down, the truth being not an object, understand, truth being available for recognition, truth is yourself, you are the very truth. Truth is the very swarupam of the knower, subject. Therefore, the subject itself happens to be the very object to be known here. You need a pramanam which is external to you. Understand? External to you. That is why here this is the shabda pramanam, the Veda. It's typically like when you see your eye, when the eyes which are seeing all the light anywhere in the world, which are capable of seeing all the objects shining in the light, you can turn your eyes here and there, you can see so many things in the world. But these eyes, when they have to see themselves, the eyes can never see themselves. You know that? The eyes can see themselves only through their reflection. There is no such a thing called seeing of the eyes. Seeing of the original eyes can only see themselves through their reflection. Eyes can never see their original eyes, how they are originally. Eyes can see the eyes, how? Through the reflection. Only through the reflection of the eyes can see themselves. That is why you have to, which means, if the eyes need to see themselves only through their reflection, they need a reflecting medium, which is called a mirror. And that mirror must be, what now? Clean mirror. The mirror will reflect. When you stand in front of the mirror, keep your eyes wide open and see what is there, how the eyes look. And the mirror, the eyes see themselves. Not the original eyes, but the reflection of the eyes. So seeing the reflection of the eyes, then I what now? The reflection eyes alone, reflection eyes, the reflection of the eyes is nothing but the original eyes. The reflection, understand now? Even though the original eyes are not the reflection are what? Is of the original eyes. Similarly, when you are the knower, you are the one to be known, you can see yourself through the reflection of your own self. Here, you need a reflecting medium, okay, manifesting medium, where you can see yourself through your manifestation. Understand? You see yourself, how? Through your manifestation, your reflection. So the words of Shastram, the words of the scripture serve as the reflecting medium, the mirror, through which, in which you can see your reflection of your nature, yourself. For which the words need to be unfolded properly for them to serve as the reflecting medium. Is it clear? Therefore, the words of the Shastram serve as the valid means of knowledge. They unfolded properly, systematically, when you keep listening and you can see the truth, the absolute reality as the your own sarupam, which is reflected in the words of the Shastra, Vedanta. Is it clear? Therefore, pramanam Vedanto nama Upanishad pramanam. Then I want you to know certain words here. We will stop half of this mantra. I won't go to the next other words. I want to learn some other terms which you need to know here. Pramata. Pramata is the subject of knowledge, the knower. Pramata, subject of knowledge, the knower. Pramanam, the instrument or the means of knowledge. Pramanam. It will take you step by step, like you will not miss anything here. Then prama or pramitihi. Two words we have. Prama or pramitihi means knowledge. Then prameyam. Prameyam means the object of knowledge. I'll repeat all these words. Pramata, subject of knowledge, the knower. Pramanam, the instrument or the means of knowledge. Prama or Pramitihi, the knowledge. prameyam, object of knowledge. Understand? Here, we are going to see a topic called Anubandha Chatushtayam in the next line, the following line. Now we have come to the, we are reading the first line, the second prose line, we are going to see this. Anubandha Chatushtayam means, Anubandha means a factor involved in any textbook. A set of four factors involved in any textbook is called Anubandha Chatushtayam. What are the four factors involved in a text? You are going to see that later on. I am preparing now itself. The Adhikari. Adhikari means the one who is qualified for understanding the subject matter revealed in the textbook, the content of the textbook. One who is eligible, qualified to study and understand the content of the text is called Adhikari. Or you can say Pramata, the one who wants to know, the one who has to know, the knower is the Adhikari, the one who wants to know the truth, one who wants to know the content of a given text is Adhikari, isn't it? But here, who is the Adhikari in this Vedanta text? When you take Vedanta as a text, Upanishad as a text, who is the Adhikari? One who wants to know the truth is the Adhikari, isn't it? Not only one who wants to know the truth, one who is totally committed, one who is qualified here for knowing this truth. So, Pramata, Adhikari is the Pramata. Is it clear now? Adhikari, the eligible candidate for understanding the content of the text book is called Adhikari. He Adhikari is who? Pramata, the knower, one who wants to know the truth. If there is no desire to know the truth is not there, how can he be the Adhikari? For Pramata. Then, between this Pramata, now we have, next is what? Pramanam we have. Now, Pramanam is what? Instrument of knowledge. This instrument of knowledge. The means of knowledge. And here, there is a next topic. The next is the content of the teaching. Content of this textbook. Subject matter of the textbook is what now? Vishayaha is a second factor. So, Adhikari number one. The number two is what? Vishayaha, the subject matter of the teaching. Subject matter of the text. Vishayaha. You can put Vishayaha first, Adhikari second, Adhikari is first. Vishayaha doesn't matter. Okay? Adhikari, Vishayaha, subject matter. The content. Isn't it? It's the second factor. Then the third factor is called Sambandaha, connection. The fourth factor is called Phalam or Prayojanam, which means a benefit. So, the one who wants to know, the Adhikari, then content of the teaching, Vishayaha, the connection between all of them. There's a connection between all of them. All of who? Connection between the Pramata and the Pramanam. And the connection between Pramanam and the Prameyam. I'll tell you all those things now. The last one is a benefit. What is the benefit? The knowledge of the reality, which is the benefit, isn't it? Which is moksha. The freedom. Knowledge of the reality itself is moksha, which is the benefit of gaining this knowledge. Prayojanam. So, these four factors are involved. Adhikari, Vishayaha, Sambandaha, Prayojanam or Phalam. Is it clear? These four factors are going to be taught later on. Before that, so in order to understand there, Adhikari is easy to understand. Pramata, the knower, the one who wants to know the truth is the Adhikari. Then, content of the teach, what is the subject matter of the teaching is also we are going to see. So here, the subject matter of the teaching, isn't it? Is the subject, here, what subject matter here? The absolute reality is the subject matter of the textbook. Then connection here. No, last is what? No, the prayojanam, the benefit of gaining this knowledge. Benefit of studying this textbook, understanding the content of this textbook will be what? Will result in the attainment of knowledge, which is moksha, which is the prayojanam. But sambandha means it is very important for one to understand the connections. You see yourself as the one who wants to know. Then once you know the value of this text as a means of knowledge, then what is the connection between the one who wants to know and the text? There's a connection, isn't it? The pramatru pramana sambandha. There's a connection between the knower and the subject matter to be subject matter. And then this textbook, why do you study this textbook? Because this textbook serves as the means of knowledge of what is to be known, isn't it? Therefore, between the text and what is to be known, there is a pramana prameya sambandha. Pramana prameya sambandha means the textbook and the object of knowledge, there is a connection. Is it clear? Then, between the text, subject matter also, and the benefit, there is a connection. Sadhana sadhya sambandha. The textbook serves as a means, understand? And the sadhyam is what? The benefit is what? Freedom, the knowledge. Revealer, revealed connection. What is revealed is the reality. And a textbook serves as a revealer, isn't it? Revealer, revealed connection. Don't get confused. It'll be easy later on. What I'm saying, it is very important for us to know the connections between, in fact, sambandha means the connection, seeing the connections between all of them. The knower, the subject matter of the teaching, understand? Or the content of the textbook and the object, what is to be known ultimately and what's the benefit of studying this and what's the benefit of gaining the knowledge by studying this. This is what seeing the connections. Is it clear now? You see all the connections here. Is it a connection or not? This is the third factor. Okay? So these four factors are going to be discussed later on. For which purpose I wanted to introduce these words today. Okay? Pramanam, when you understand, as a means of one who operates by making use of this, pramanam, the means of knowledge, is the pramata, the knower, the subject of knowledge. Pramanam is a means of knowledge. Prameyam is an object of knowledge. The object to be known is what? The reality. Brahman or Atma, which happens to be one's own truth. Then there is Pramata, then Prameyam, then Pramitihi and Prama, the final knowledge. Pramitihi or Prama. All got all these terms here or not? Don't worry, it will take care of it. So I have only covered the half sentence of this first line. Vedanto nama. Nama means, okay? Vedanto nama Upanishad Pramanam. Have you understood now? At least you know the meaning of this word Pramanam. That is more than enough. Okay? We'll see the rest next class. We'll go slowly and I want to understand every step. I don't want to make any vagueness anywhere. Because I introduced all these four anubandhas, don't get confused. Next week, that will be the topic. I'm going to unfold the anubandha chatushtayam. I'm going to explain this, what it means by saying a set of four factors involved in the text. It became very clear. Because it's all preparation to take you ahead, isn't it? You see how beautifully, very clearly, you don't miss anything here. If you're taken like this. Om Narayana 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 Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Rupyo Namaha Harihi Om.